Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is George Gamond, and hopefully you can hear me. I tried to kill the music part of it, but the audio thing wouldn't go away. So if you can hear me, let me know. I don't know if you can hear me or not. There's this problem with this thing about once you got the audio going, and then once you kill it, people can't hear me. So I'm going to take a call and see if they can hear me. Can you hear me this morning? Because I don't know. It's been a problem in the past. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I just don't let the music play it very long at all. And I tried getting rid of the music, but it wouldn't go away. So what are we doing today? Oh, yes, I know. I kind of did a write-up, and I have a caller, so I'll take a caller in a minute. But let me set up the show a little bit, what I want to talk about today. And it's about creating miracles in your life and how to do, or an idea on how to do that. And as I've been telling people along, I've been a student of the law of attraction for a long time, read all the books, there are a lot of books on it. But recently I've come to complete understanding, or really a connection with the idea that it's all about your emotions and your thinking. Your thoughts and your emotions, if they're in a negative place, you will not be able to manifest what you want because you have to be a vibrational match to what you want. So how do you get there? Now, I've been teaching meditation for a long time and breathing and all these sort of things. And as I'm reading this material on how to do there and how to get to a higher set of consciousness, I thought about, I can do this. I can help people get there. Because you have to focus on a couple positive words, and you have to release, and we'll do that. We'll do the meditation in a few minutes. So it's about releasing the negative thoughts and negative emotions, which are related to that. Also releasing problems, and that sounds like, well, I got a problem, I should be thinking about my problem. No, you don't. And we'll get into the meditation part of it in a little while, because it's really focusing on two words, peace and love. Internal peace. Getting into that state of peace, and I've been practicing it myself, so I kind of know what it feels like to go there, and it's kind of a cool thing, and you can do this through breathing exercises, and we'll do that, and it's kind of a meditative thing, and I want to do that with you today, because if you can get into that state of internal peace, which is devoid of negative thoughts and negative emotions, and only positive emotions and positive thoughts, you get in alignment with what you want, and you can manifest what you want. And I have an article that I want to share about people who do that. Because sometimes you hear these theoretical things about, oh, yeah, people manifest. But if you get an article, and I refer back to an author who I like a lot and has some ideas on how to do that, Pam Grout, who wrote E Squared and E Cubed, and she had a system of being able to do that. And the article I'm going to refer to in a minute. I'll take a call. You hang in there for a minute. I'll be with you, kind of setting up the show where I'm going with this today about creating miracles. But also have a really cool article about men. And I thought that'd be fun. Friday, let's talk about men. Yeah. And what we really want. And what surveys and science indicates about what men really want. Because there's all this mythology and stereotypes about men and us being this and us that. But what does science really say? What do the surveys and the psychologists say about men, what we really want and what we really will do? So, and it's good to know. If you're a woman, kind of you can look at it and go, maybe he's not such a jerk after all. Maybe, right? Yeah, okay, whatever, right? Maybe he still is, but not all men are jerks. Well, okay, we'll leave that one alone. So we'll do that, and then we have a couple of articles on how to find peace. That's the word I'm looking for, is peace. How to get to that state of peace. And love, internal love, divine love, God love, whatever you call it. Love from the universe, love from God. How do you get there? And I have an exercise, and I think it'll be kind of fun. I'd let Spirit do it. Maybe I should let Spirit take you on that journey. I think I'll channel that one, because they kind of gave it to me anyway. So let me take a call. And then we'll get into all that. We'll have some fun. It's Friday. Hope everybody's going to have a wonderful weekend. It is a wonderful weekend because baseball, Major League season starts on Monday. It starts on Monday. This is the last of the exhibition games. And they're off. Most of the teams are off on Sunday, and I think there's a couple games on Sunday. But so I'm looking forward to the season. actually would look forward to seeing the Dodgers, but we have a problem with watching Dodger games here in Southern California or Los Angeles area. Okay, so I get to watch a lot of Angel games, which is okay. I like the Angels too. But baseball is like my favorite sport. I played a lot when I was younger. Really loved the game. And I'm glad they're trying to speed up the game a little bit. Okay, let me take a call. We could do a whole show on baseball, but I don't think you want to hear about baseball for a whole show, right? Because I don't have a lot of predictions on the teams, and I don't know the teams that well. Just have my favorites. Okay, let me take a call. Hello? Or are you supposed to be coming on now? But it's little things going whoosh, 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 and it's not letting me talk to anybody yet. Computer, the network must be slow. We could always blame AT&T for everything that doesn't work correctly, right? It's good old AT&T puts everything in. Well, I should be back now. Okay, am I on the air? I don't know. Can you hear me now? I don't know. Blog Talk is having a problem. Okay, I'm here. Can anybody hear me? What? I don't know. Am I on the air? Blog Talk is having a problem this morning. Can anybody hear me? Let's see who's available, and if anybody wants to call now and talk about love. Okay, well, we're going to talk about love, not in the romantic sense of love. We're going to talk about love in the sense of how to attract love in your life, how to attract new cars, airplanes, buses, boats, you know, homes, whatever you want to get, whatever miracles you want to create in your life. That's what we're going to talk about today. Hopefully you can hear me. So let me get into the article that I was going to discuss. By Michigan. And this is from Pam Grouse, and it's about, she's going to tell us three stories, and I'm going to kind of read and paraphrase them a little bit. And about, happy Friday, my friends, thought I'd like to head into the weekend with a couple of stories from the Twilight Zone. Only these days we fully realize that what I used to be dubbed miraculous or coincidental or beyond the natural order is nothing but the universe saying, over here. So it's like the universe saying, hey, we're here, God saying, we're here. I'm here. I'm lucky because these stories land in my e-box every day. Inbox. Okay, good e-box, right? Who needs the New York Times when you've got readers sending stories of life and miracles and trenches? Okay, so here are three. So I'm going to get into this. This is like, we can all do this. This is not something that nobody ever is able to do. We can all do this stuff, right? Okay. And how do we do it? That's what we're going to talk about, the Spirit talk to you about. Getting to that place of doing that. A friend of mine in Kansas wanted to go to California. So she took the... Okay, well, let's say the field of all possibilities, and that sort of thing, her program, that she wanted, she told the universe, basically, that she wanted her husband to get a higher-paying job half as many hours. Oh, that seems like an impossibility. Okay, we want to move to California. We live in Kansas, and I want to get my husband a job that pays more money and works less hours. That seems a pretty tall order, right? But in her process, that if you want to read the square of T, there's a process in the book of what these people are exercising and using, which is really in alignment. It's really getting in a higher place, and that's what I'm talking. Okay, so a week later, her husband gets an offer. He hasn't even realized he was looking for a good job. But this offer, you can guess what I'm about to say, is in California for twice as much money, working half as many hours. No, she asked for it. She put it out there. She got her vibration into a place. And it wasn't even the individual. I mean, it was for her husband, right? It wasn't her husband even asking for these things. She was asking if she wanted to move to California, if she wanted her husband to get a better job. That would explain a little bit of, can we ask for other people? Next one. Sandy was doing one of the experiments in wrote, desperately missing her daughter who left, probably selling a lot of her books. I should be promoting her books. She was desperately missing her daughter who left the physical plane. Some call it dying. In December, she made the intention that she wanted to heal her. She turned the page where there was a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. She gained strength and courage and confidence by every experience. She really stopped to look fear in the face. She must do the thing she cannot do. That quote, Debbie said, put my daughter's book with me. I put on my daughter's so it's kind of a science on the other side. Yes. Okay, I'm here for you. That was close. Yeah, this is the third one. I thought this was kind of fun. There's one for those who still aren't sure that the universe is working. Now, I'm presenting these with the idea that what I want to lead into here is, yeah, we can be there. We can do this. This is not like, nobody can do this except the monk sitting in a cave somewhere. Everyone can do this stuff. So back in Detroit, where I grew up, I was going to Wayne State University. Actually, Dr. Wayne Dyer was in my school. I'm in math and philosophy. I was riding shotgun with my friend Stan on a warm Saturday afternoon around 1967. Stan often worked at his father's gas station on Saturdays, but on this day, he was free to play. You may know that at the time, Detroit was still a vibrant grand city with lots of things to do on any given day. In 1967, I had already moved out to California. I went to Detroit as a child. I've been there a long time. Never mind. Okay, well, moving right along, because I was born in Detroit and lived outside the city. Okay, there was gas stations on practically every major street corner, and almost literally stopped. I can imagine throughout the city. So, yeah, again, you know, back then, if you had a car, we got like 12, 15 miles to the gallon. Gas was 67. Gas was about 29 cents a gallon, or roughly there, 23 to 30 cents a gallon, something like that. Yeah, I had a Volkswagen Beetle at that time. 33 cents a gallon is pretty about the normal then. I'm deviating off into the strange land of where it was back way back when. But then wages were really low. I mean, the average starting wage was about $1.30 an hour. So, right. At one point, he realized he needed some gas. So he pulled up to a random station and started filling up. In those days, there were offices in most stations. Also, most stations had attendants who pumped gas for you. We were both in the car when suddenly another attendant came out to our car. We were the only car there. And he asked my friend, are you Stan Lipowitz? Stan said, yes, why? The guy said, there's a phone call for you inside. We both looked at each other and quickly were thinking, talk about random stuff, right? He went inside and it turned out that a friend of his needed to contact him. Thought he was working at his father's station, looked at him up in the yellow pages. No internet or cell phones at the time. Yeah, remember the yellow pages? Anybody use the yellow pages? It wasn't that many years ago that I used yellow before Google. Google replaced the yellow pages, right? Kind of sad. Okay, and accidentally copied the number of the station listed just below his father's and called it. Now, you could say this is a coincidence, but maybe this person, the universe, kind of arranged this thing because, you know, he needed gas. The universe, he's pulling into this gas station. Well, look at the, here's the number for this gas station, right? And which turned out to be the station we drove into just at the same time he called. Okay, so here's the deal. We can continue to be surprised at all these events, random chance, or we can shrug, well, and recognize that the universe is constantly trying to get our attention, to interact with us, to rain down blessings. Our only job is to widen the aperture of our awareness. And so that's what I'm talking about. I love this. It's a great story. Somebody needs to get a hold of somebody, and the universe arranged, or God, or whatever expression you want to use there, arranged to find this person. So, and it's a great story because it happens all the time. And many people can get out there and go, oh, yeah, that happened. I know it happened. You're still hearing me here? I mean, really, am I still online? This thing's really been funky today. Nobody's calling in. Only one person in the chat room. You should be able to hear me. Dang, I don't know. So, what are we going to do today? I'm going to get into the article about peace, and I know I'm going to lead up to this whole thing about what can you do to get your vibration to the place. If you want to talk about love, how do you get to that place of love? Attracting love, attracting money, attracting whatever it is in your life. And Pam's article indicated you could do it for other people too, right? Right? Okay. So, let's do this article. And this kind of helps lead into the whole thing, right? 5 ways to bring peace into your days from BeliefNet.com. So, first of all, they say, take a moment for yourself. As soon as you wake up, begin. Have meals to make, kids stress, to-do lists that never end. Even your phone is delivering messages, text messages, emails, angry, whatever. And keep pulling on you for your attention. You ever get that feeling that, wow, you know, I can't stop. She's going to constantly be constantly. There's something trying to get my attention. I got this list of things to do. Okay. So the merry-go-round seems to go on and on. So here's the good news. Your life may not slow down, but you can. Moments to refresh and recharge all around you. From the busy soccer mom to the overworked executive, everyone can take advantage of these easy-to-do tips, and tricks to bring more peace into your day. So, this is Jennifer E. Jones who wrote this article. She is an inspirational editor. If you believe in the power of Siesta, I love Siesta. Don't you love the nap? Anybody like the nap? Okay, next one. Mute the commercials. Unless you have a DVR, you're ingesting a lot of ads with needless noise that you'd rather not see during your favorite television shows. When the commercial starts, mute the sound. It gives you 30 seconds to a minute, sometimes 2 or 3. But ever, I have a DVR, and I record shows because I want to watch later. And you get to that commercial break, and it seems to go on forever. You know, you've got to count the minutes, but, you know, but the show stopped at 28 minutes. And now you're 32 minutes, and you've still got a commercial. So mute all that stuff. You don't listen to it. And it's the repeated same commercial. Now, I don't watch the news for the same reason. Why do you want to fill yourself with a bunch of negative information and negative stories and violent stories constantly? Overview the news. Nothing really gets you your attention. But as Spirit was talking about, why don't you sit and watch car chases all day? You know, we'll sit there for an hour and watch a car chase in the middle of the day. The famous OJ chase, right? Okay, breathe. I'll let you breathe. I know you think you're breathing right now. You are. However, I'm talking about deep breathing. Trying to lift your chest, fills your lungs, and then exhale the body into relaxation. Now that's what we're going to talk about in meditation here. What I'm going to do for a while. Breath before a big meeting. Breath while you're in traffic. Take a moment as often as possible to close your eyes and take deep breaths. Now, that's funny, they mentioned while in traffic and then close your eyes. Now I'm not sure you want to connect the two together. Close your eyes when you're not in traffic, maybe you're at your desk. Okay. I just find a little humor in that they put the in traffic and close your eyes really that close together in a sentence. Nope, can't do that. It's like, yeah, closing your eyes, meditate while you're in traffic, right? There was a British TV show that was really actually very funny where the lady was a traffic reporter in a helicopter and, you know, it was a stressful day. There was a lot of traffic and it was London where she was recording over. And she kind of like went into this kind of state of, oh, the traffic is really bad today. You know, what you need to do is relax and meditate a little bit. So when everybody else is listening to the show, just relax a little bit, close your eyes. And then you hear the background noise, a lot of crashes. It's like, no, you've got to avoid
have done American TV. One of the actors was in Pirates of the Caribbean. Played one of the doctors.
Okay.
One of the government officials. Okay. He was mouthwash. That's fascinating. Okay.
Okay.
Stay with me on this one. Most mouthwashes recommend that you swoosh the liquid around for 30 seconds. You have to be careful not to swallow it while still making sure it hits all the corners of your mouth. It takes some focus. It's difficult to do anything else and use mouthwash at the same time.
Yeah, really, seriously.
If you really wanted to practice mindfulness, the art of being fully and singularly dedicated to whatever you're doing in the moment, using mouthwash is a great start. Just stand still, close your eyes, really feel the mouthwash between your cheeks. And when you get done, not only have a great breath, but a calmer mind. You know, this reminds me, I've been watching a cooking show, and I'm watching about really good cooking. And I watched a movie called The Chef, and there was a little outtake at the end of the movie, and this is a dramatic movie, or, you know, it wasn't a documentary. So, but at the end was the advisor who was the chef, who had been the advisor for the whole show, and they were making a grilled cheese sandwich, kind of like the outtake at the end of the movie. But if you watch this person making a grilled cheese sandwich, it seems like really simple, right? But the intensity of the focus on the sandwich, the getting up close to the sandwich, gives 100% attention without the sandwich and the little spatula that to turn the sandwich. And it was like cooking can be that. If you want to put 100% attention into your cooking, you're spending a lot of love in your food, aren't you? I thought this is another way to be mindful of what you're doing. Be totally absorbed in what you're doing. The whole world is just kind of blocked out when you're cooking this grilled cheese sandwich or whatever you're making. So cooking can be a very mindful experience. It can be a form of meditation because you're totally involved in the food. You're totally involved in the process of the food, and your focus is 100% on that food that you're preparing. That's mindfulness. That's just using it. And you could do the same thing with ironing, or you could same thing with vacuuming. You could do the same thing with washing dishes, or you could, unless you have a dishwasher, that you can stare at a dishwasher for 10 minutes, like, you know, ooh, I'm hearing it. No, you know what I mean. It's whatever you're doing, it's 100% focused on what you're doing in the moment. That's a form of mindfulness. That's a form of bringing peace into your life because you're completely focused on that, and you're not letting anything else come in. Whatever it is you're doing, right? Driving is the same thing. Not being distracted. Okay, now, one of my favorites in the whole world. Feeling stressed out. You might just need a nap. Millions of people don't get enough sleep. I'll read. I didn't sleep well last night either. You know, it's like I was up at 1, then I was up at 4:30 for my dog, then I woke up later. Finally, okay, I'm looking at the clock. Okay, what am I getting out of bed? You know, it's like, okay, now is the time. So naps are cool. And if that's you, it affects every area of your life, and from your weight to your emotions. Even if it's just 15 minutes, find a spot, take a nap, and the snooze will do your body good. Set an alarm, you know. If you have a tendency to oversleep, overnap, set an alarm, wake yourself up after 15 minutes. Next one. I'm not sure where they came from, but we'll go through it. It's kind of interesting. Okay. Go to the restroom. Aha! Who among you has not escaped to the bathroom for a moment? Whether you're at home, the office, or in a crowded restaurant, it can buy you at least a minute or two of privacy to collect yourself. So, if you're feeling overwhelmed and you need a moment, excuse yourself. Put the rest back in the restroom. You can do the breathing exercise, which I'm going to talk about. Go to the restroom, get a place to escape, close the door. All right, it's really going to bother you. So there's a lot of good ideas to find in your day. You could probably find a lot of things yourself that now, go to the garden. Focus on your food. Find focus. Right, writing focus on something. What am I doing next? Oh, worship. So I'm going to let Spirit lead you through this process of this meditation. You call it a meditation. Just call it a breathing exercise. Call it an exercise to get into a higher state of consciousness. Whatever you want to call it. You can do that. Okay? So I'll do that. I'll let them do it. They do a better job than I do. Well, we want to greet you today. Hope you're having a beautiful day, beautiful evening, beautiful afternoon, whatever time it is in your part of the world. We thank you for the opportunity. Thank George for the opportunity to speak through him. And to present some ideas that we've kind of given to him, but we're going to expand on a little bit, given this opportunity to talk about how to raise your consciousness. So let's give you a little background on this. Why should you do this? Well, as it's been mentioned, if you want to manifest anything in your life, you need to match the vibration of what you want. Match the vibration of the giver of what you want, the universe, God, use your word. If you need to match that vibration, that level of vibration of the giver. Does that make sense to you, what we mean by that? Because if those in the non-physical, that soul part of you is vibrating at a much higher vibration and more intense vibration than you are on the normal average day. And the reason for that is your world is full of negativity, negative thoughts, negative emotions. And if you were to stop yourself right now and pay attention to your feelings, hopefully you're feeling really positive and really good, and you're in a good place. And you feel really good about the day, and you're singing, and you're dancing, and you're whistling, and you're doing all kinds of really beautiful things. And you're sitting in a state of joy, or sitting in a state of kindness, you're sitting in a state of love, or sitting in a state of peace. If you're there already, then you're in a place to manifest, because then you're aligning yourself with the divine nature of all that there is. Because that's the divine nature, is that state of love, that state of peace, that state of compassion, that state of kindness, that state of joy. But if you're not in that place, if you're in an anxious state, a worried state, a fearful state, a frustrated state, an angry state, then you're not aligning with what the higher vibrations have to offer. Follow it so far. No, we know we're repeating ourselves. We know that you've heard a lot of this. But we emphasize it because even though you've heard it, you still do it. Right? Even though you hear it, you still try to manifest from that frustrated place. Oh, I want this, I want that. But you're angry, or you're frustrated, or you're anxious, or you're worried, or you're fearful, or you're sitting in guilt or shame or all those negative energies. You have all those going on. But at the same time, you're trying to manifest, you're trying to align yourself with something that you really want in your life. Call it love. Call it a partner. Call it a friend. Call it whatever you call it. So what we're trying to give you is just a good way, a nice way, of just at least for the next few minutes, aligning yourself with that higher vibration. When you're in that state, in that place, the vibration, you're matching. And then you turn the key to your expression. You turn the key that opens the door to get the flood of what you want. Now, we're really careful of saying that. We can feel that George is trying to open what they talk about. You can shut the door rather quickly. You slip right into a negative place. You start worrying. Start to do a problem. I don't know about that. It never happened to me before. I don't know why it should happen now. You slip into that negative, that guilt, that shame, that victimhood, whatever you call it. You shut the door. So we want to keep the door open for a while. You want to keep that door open. You want to constantly be reopening that door to get what you want. You want to align yourself with that energy. Now, here's an exercise that you can do. It's very simple. It takes 2 or 3 minutes to do it. And if you repeat it constantly through your day, anytime you get a chance, you continue to open that door to the things that you want in your life. Whether it be individual, whether it be a job, whether it be whatever it is. Maybe it's what you want to be in the team. You want to feel good. You want to be healthy. And you know your body in a stressed mode is not healthy. So you want to get out of the stress. And if nothing more, these exercises will help you to de-stress. You can continue to de-stress yourself with letting go of stress so you can get into that calm, peaceful state. So what we're talking about is being in that peaceful state. We'll explain a little bit more about that as we go through the exercises. And we're going to use George as an example. We're going to use his body as an example of how it works, and he can explain to you afterwards what it felt like. Okay? So here we go. Relax for a moment. Just get calm. Just get in the peaceful setting. Just kind of tune out the world. Close your eyes if you're so appropriately can do that. If you're driving a car again, you don't want to do that, right? Take a deep breath. So let's get George to do that first. Deep breath. And as you take your deep breath in, visualize, feel, imagine, however you want to do this, that what's coming into your body is a state of peace. Just relax. And with it is mixed with divine love. So that your heart is being filled with love, and you're getting yourself into a relaxed state. Just feel your body starting to move into this relaxed state. Now, as you exhale, let it out slowly. What you're releasing is all negative thoughts and negative emotions. You may want to put a name on it, let's say frustration. Just say, I release all the frustration. I release all the intense thoughts and frustration. I allow myself to be a blank canvas for love and peace and all positive thoughts. So do it again. Breathe in deep. Feel your body with peace. And as you're feeling your body with peace, feel your body begin to relax. Feel the tension go out of your body as you exhale. Feel the tension being released from your body. Feel all those negative emotions being released from your body. Just feel your whole body becoming more relaxed, more comfortable, as if all the tension is just moving out of your body. And you're feeling yourself released. That divine love that begins to fill your body. Now, do it again, because we want to continue to do this. The first time is not going to be as effective as the 30th time, but we're not going to do 30 here. But we're going to do another one. Just take a deep breath. Breathe in peace. Breathe in relaxation. Breathe in love. Just breathe it all in. Fill your heart, your whole being with love. That peaceful energy. Just feel your body. Feel it. Calmness and serenity comes over you. Just feel it. And as you exhale, let go again. Let go of any negative emotions, any negative thoughts that are attached to those emotions. Surrender yourself to the divine. Now you should start to feel more relaxed, more at peace. Your thoughts should drift away from the negative. Now take a deep breath. Feel peace. Feel love. Now as you release, as you're taking this energy, releasing, feel peaceful thoughts start to come. Thoughts are things that will make your life happier. Thoughts that you want to manifest in your life. Peaceful thoughts. Thoughts, whether it be love, whether it be something new that you want in your life that feels really good. Visualize for a moment as you're breathing something really wonderful coming into your life. Only attach good feeling thoughts and emotions to this. Feel really good about this. Feel the sense of joy as you attach yourself to this, whatever that might be. And then just release, relax, breathe out, and relax. Your body relax. Stay with those good feelings and thoughts. Just allow them to flow peacefully. Now take another deep breath. Take a deep breath. Feel that beautiful energy coming into you. Feel your body at peace. Feel
feel that love in me. Feel those things that feel beautiful and wonderful to you in your life. Now, surrender those to the universe for completion. If you have a problem, you want to But instead of focusing on the problem part of it, focusing on the problem, which is kind of a negative energy, you're going to really have to say, okay, higher consciousness. Find a beautiful place, find a serene place to be at. watch how quickly, as you focus on and ask of being in the state of peace, the state of love, the state of kindness, of compassion, when you're raising your vibration up, how quickly things start to flow to you. Anytime you start to feel those negative emotions, those thoughts that generate negative emotions, that connection of negativity between thoughts and emotions, you breathe in. We guarantee you, in the non-physical world, the physical world, if you exercise and practice this on a daily basis, and this achievement is beyond your greatest expectations, you start to flow into your life. So we're going to leave you with that. Practice that. Do it. Do it daily. Do it 2 or 3 times a day. Anytime that you start to flip into a negative state, a negative emotion, practice it. Most things will feel good, things that you appreciate. You will change your environment. You will create magnificent things in your life just by making a shift, a conscious shift, live from a higher vibration, living from a state, higher state of consciousness, which is aligned with your soul. We'll leave you there. Practice. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with the sound, and hopefully you can hear me. But I was a little quieter. Spirit was quieter anyway, so I hope you get something out of this. That was fun. That was good. I feel relaxed when they ask me to express how I feel. And when I go through this exercise, and I've done this a few times, every time I do it, I feel better. I feel like I get into that state of peace. And I let go of all the emotional anxiety, emotional stuff. The negative emotions and negative thoughts. And I'm able to bring in peaceful thoughts and things I do want. And I see the difference when I do it. I can notice the shift when I do it. Okay, so I'll leave you with that one. Show's not over. I know, show's not over. Yeah, we want to keep going here for the next few minutes. So I'm going to get into an article. If you have any questions in the chat room. If you need personal guidance on how to do that, if you want to talk to Spirit directly and let them guide you through that process, contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page, my website, my Facebook page, so we can go through and you can have a session with Spirit on how to do that individually. Can you overcome your specific fears and negative emotions? Okay, this is an article from WebMD, 18 Secrets Guys Wish You Do. This is Guys Towards Women. This is a study done by certain, it's reviewed by an agency, psychiatrist. Okay, so, men will talk about feelings. Do you believe that? Okay. Was your guy raised as a traditional stoic man's man? If so, let WebMD walk you through 18 relationship secrets gathered from psychologists who study gender roles. Secret number one, it may be easier for your man to talk about feelings indirectly. Ask what he'd do during a certain romantic weekend, or what he thought the first time he met you. Opening him up with questions, his answers reveal how he feels and brings you closer. So it's asking questions. How do you feel? It's not the question. How do you feel about this? It's not the question. That's a direct ask. But ask what he'd do during the romantic weekend. So get into the beginning. Kind of tap into, how did you feel when we first met? No, it doesn't say feel. I'm going to rephrase myself a little bit because I got the word feel, and maybe the word feel is not the right word here. It's what he thought the first time he met you. Now, thoughts relate to feelings, don't they? Thoughts relate to feelings. So maybe you have to go with the man, the thought first, and that triggers the feeling. Instead of asking for the
And that's what they're asking for. A feeling is not as important as asking for a thought, because the thought will trigger the feeling. You got that one? That's a cool point. When you're asking men about their feelings, don't ask them directly about the feelings. Ask them about the thought. What do you think about that? And the thought will trigger a feeling. They always do. Got it? Men say I love you with actions. This is really important. Now, I've talked to a lot of women over the years, and I've counseled a lot of women in psychic and psychic work, but also in hypnotherapy and other things I've done. This is very true. Some men prefer to show their feelings through actions rather than words. Your guy may say I love you by fixing things around the house, tidying up the yard, or even taking out the trash. Anything that makes your world a better place. So don't discount those things. The guy sees your car and goes, yeah, I'm going to get your car washed for you. You need that car wash. You know, that's showing I love you because I care enough about you to do these things for you, right? Or, you know, let me go do this. Oh, I see something in your bathroom that needs to be fixed. Let me do this for you. That's a man showing his interest, his love for you. So let actions, don't discount those actions that a man does for you. Those are really important. That's a way for him to express his feelings towards you. Okay? Men take commitment seriously. Men have a reputation for being afraid to commit. But evidence suggests that men take marriage seriously. You like that? Men take marriage seriously. They may take longer to commit because they want to make sure that they are on board for good. In a survey of currently married men, 90% say they would marry the same woman again. So men have to be committed all the way. Got to have both feet in the water. It's both an emotional commitment, but it's also a logical commitment. It's an analytical, emotional commitment to the situation. So if men take a little bit longer, as they say, they need to be totally committed. Once they're on board, they're on board. Okay? He really is listening. When you're listening to someone talk, you probably chime in with yes or I see every now and again. It's your way of saying, I'm listening. But some guys don't do this. Just because a guy isn't saying anything doesn't mean he's not listening. He may prefer to listen quietly and think about what you're saying. Yeah, we talk about men could do that a little bit more, and if you can advise a man that, yeah. And I have a friend who says, you know, it's always good to say to a woman, yeah, I can see your point of view. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I understand it. I get you. I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's I can get that. But that's all man training. But a lot of men don't do that. They just want to hear the whole thing, right? They're listening. They're just not commenting. And I've been accused of not commenting in the past. I've been accused of not saying anything. But I'm listening. I'm paying attention. I hear the words. I register the words and the thoughts and the ideas. I'm just not commenting. That's a man thing. Don't worry about it. It's a big deal. Make it nice. Make it common. Don't beat him up over it. If it's not. You men hear more than you think they hear, and they'll react to what you're saying. Well, give them time to react to what you're saying, because they're hearing more than sometimes you think they're hearing. Okay? Shared activities from bonds. Men strengthen their relationship with their partners from doing things together more than by sharing thoughts and feelings. For many men, activities like sports and sex make them feel closer to the partners. You know, that's one of the secrets of life that a lot of times women don't get, and I can express that. You know, I meet women online, or I meet women through dating sites, and they want to chat, and they want to email back and forth. But for a man, it's doing things together. You know, what's the expression? Men have to have sex to fall in love. Women have to fall in love to have sex. So for men, the sexual bond is actually what it is. It's a bond. It's a connection. They need to connect. They need to do an activity together. They need to go for a hike. They need to be a man some way towards that woman. The
other day, I have a picture of people canoeing together. Well, men, that's how we bond. We get to show the masculine side of ourselves. And we do that through activities, whether it be a sexual activity, a sport, a hike, a plumbing, fixing some plumbing together, whatever it is. Like, it, for me, it's cooking. If I can cook with a woman, it's a real bonding exercise for me. But I don't think women always get that one. Men need time for themselves. Oh, yeah. While shared activities are important, men also need time for themselves. Whether your man enjoys golf, gardening, working out at the gym, encourage him to pursue his hobbies. You'll make time for your own while you make time for your own. You can't do everything together. You know, in a marriage or a relationship, you can't do everything together. You have separate interests, and it's okay for men to pursue their masculine interests, whatever that might be. Monster truck rallies, who in golf games, watching baseball, if the wife's not into baseball, whatever it is, right? While both partners have space to nurture their individuality, they also have more to give each other, so you can share. And this brings up a really key lesson in all of this. And the key lesson here is people love to share what they do. Love to share that separate thing. If a man is into sports and he wants to share his feelings about or that things about sports, like a baseball team, I'll just use this as an example. If the wife is dishing him and saying, I'm reading a book, leave me alone. I'm watching the show, don't talk. If a wife or girlfriend continues to do that, the man will look for somebody else who will listen to them about what's important to them. I knew that in my marriage. So men will look for people or a woman who will listen to them and appreciate, not necessarily totally agree with them, but will show some kind of interest in them and what they do. So if you don't do that, you just dish your man and say, oh, yeah, I'm reading a book. I'm busy. Whatever. Talk to me some other time, right? You have just put a nail on that divorce coffin that you're creating. Really, seriously. And studies have proven that 97% of the time. One partner or the other feels like they're being ignored for what they're important to them. It's on the road to divorce or separation or going different directions. Men learn from their fathers. If you want to know how a man will act in a relationship, get to know his dad. Now, that's really important for women. No, sometimes it's a little bit older fathers around. My father died when I was young. So I don't have that. I learned from a kind of a wide variety of men in my life, for us older brothers, sports heroes, right? Whatever. How they are with each other and how the father relates to his own partner can predict how a man will relate to his wife. Now, I didn't have that training, so I had to kind of get it through books and other ways, right? Men let go faster than women. Women tend to remember negative experiences longer. They may have lingering feelings of stress, anxiety, or sadness. In contrast, men are less likely to dwell on unpleasant events and tend to move on quickly. Now, that's important because we'll let go of it. You know, it's like, okay, that's history. It's gone. I guess I'm okay. So while you may still want to talk about last night's argument, your guy may have already forgotten about it. And that's normal. That's natural. It's not being rude or anything, you know. I think this is a really important point, and I'm going to show I'm going to share this on Facebook because I think women need to realize some of this stuff. Really, seriously. You know, and it's not to be being critical of women because we are different. That's the key ingredient. We are different, right? We are different. So let's move on. How much time I have left? I got 3 minutes. Let me do one more then. Call it a day. I'll be back on Monday. And again, if you want to learn that process and how that process, that breathing process of releasing negative energy, negative thoughts and emotions, contacting you, working together, that can help you. Let spirit talk to you individually about how to do that. Maybe your specific situation is a little different, and they can help you with your specific
Okay. Next point. Men don't pick up on subtle clues. Men are more likely to miss the subtle signals like tone of voice or facial expression, and they are especially likely to miss sadness on a woman's face. If you want to make sure your guy gets the message, be direct. Yeah, innuendo, no, it doesn't work with men as well. Now there are some men that are more sensitive and more empathic, like I am, that will pick up on those things. But not always, because we get kind of in our heads, we're doing something, and we got four things going on, and we're trying to contemplate all the big issues of the world, right? You know, astrophysicists, and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. Sometimes we'll miss the subtleties. So be direct. Don't assume that we understand what you mean. Men respond to appreciation. Showing appreciation for your guy can make a big difference. That's what I was talking about earlier. In the way he acts. Taking parenting studies show that fathers are more involved in caregiving when their wives value their involvement and see them as a partner. So you have to appreciate them. Then think about sex. I think even as you grow older, okay. So we have about a minute and a half, and I hope you heard me. I hope this worked out. I get so frustrated with these contacts, I have to let my breathing again to let it go, right? Yeah, to allow this to work properly. I'm going to do that on Monday. So I'll be back. Have a beautiful weekend. I love you guys. I really do. I love doing the show. I love being able to present these articles, to present the Word of Spirit to you. I really would love to help you more individually, so contact me. If you just feel that the show is worth the effort, listening to me. There's a thing on my blog, on my website, a little bit on my website where you can see it. And I ask that because we don't. I have to pay for the show. It's not free for me to do this, and I'm not being paid by them. So I would appreciate it. Small contribution. It's that I know you appreciate what I'm doing. So I thank you for that. So thank you. I love you guys. I really do this. I do this from my heart, and I do this because I love doing it. So have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful day.